Before we see the end of our all-too-brief summer here in the Northland, there will be, in fact, today we know there'll be more thunderstorms coming. And to help folks be more prepared for storm damages after our experience a couple of weeks back, we've invited Jennifer Teagarden, a DNR forestry outreach specialist today, to talk about the do's and don'ts in terms of damaged trees. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How about you?
Fine, thanks. Well, so far, the rain is on its way. I think we're probably on top of us right now. So we were certainly, I think, caught off guard and certainly thrown into the pool of dealing with trees a couple of weeks ago here in the Duluth region, learning valuable lessons about tree care and cleanup. But now might be a good time to think about preparing for future storms. What can we do, first of all, to think about what our trees are looking like now and worrying about what might happen to them later? How do we make an assessment of their health at this point?
Well, you would look at the tree, and if you see signs, evidence of rot, which could be fungal bodies or conchs, that is a good sign that you might want to consider removing your tree, especially if it's along the tree's trunk. That means it has internal decay, and that during a storm, it could snap the trunk in half. The other signs that you want to look for is what's called included bark. And that's where included bark happens when two branches grow together and the bark starts growing in between the branches. And that creates a weak spot. Mm. And during a storm, with the movement of the crown of the tree, the branches could split at that spot. For large trees, if they have included bark, people could have a professional that knows how to cable their tree, and that's one way a larger tree could be preserved. But if you have a smaller tree that has included bark, you want to definitely try to remove one of those branches.
Another thing I've seen lately are trunks that, because especially with like maples, that tend to grow in sort of V-shaped formation off of the trunk, that when part of a tree, say a couple of weeks ago, split away, that you've got an exposed piece of trunk, and it looks like sometimes an exposed trunk where the branches have ripped off have gone almost to the core of the tree. Is that a sign that really at that point the tree should come down, even if it looks like maybe 60-70% of the trunk is still there? Is that a weakness that should be considered a problem?
Yeah, if you, when I see trees that split in half, for example, maybe still half of the tree is standing, that tree won't be able to seal that wound, and then that wound will develop decay. Usually I recommend removing mature trees if more than 50% of the trunk or live branches have been damaged. Mm-hmm. And again, that's because the tree just won't be able to heal. Younger trees, though, I say wait and see. You know, for young, they can sustain a lot more damage. But again, a rip down, you know, if you have a rip down the trunk, again, or even a larger rip up in the canopy, I oftentimes encourage, consider replanting, remove and replant.
One of the problems I've noticed a few weeks ago here in Duluth, with all the trees that came down, not all of them, but many of the trees that came down, of course, fell on power lines. And around here, we have, I think, become very accustomed to being surrounded by trees and surrounded by plentiful and thick trees. It's sort of this northern forest. Far from wanting to remove all of the trees that are possibly near a power line or near our houses, trees will inevitably, in future storms, come down. What is the first thing people should do when that happens? Do we make an assessment from inside the house? Should we get out of the house and take a look at things? What's the first step after a storm for people to look at tree damage?
Well, the first step is to make sure you approach the tree with caution. And if there are down lines, to call 911. And if you have any, you know, I always tell people, you know, your life is very valuable, and working in trees can be very dangerous. So if you have any large trees that need to be removed or even large branches to be removed, to make sure to have a professional do it. Mm-hmm. They're trained, and they know what they, you know, they know how to remove the branches so that, one, it won't cause any additional injury to the tree, but of course they know how to move around and remove branches to not cause injury to themselves.
Right. Yeah. And there's certainly a lot of do-it-yourselfers out there a few weeks ago because we needed to be there. There were more trees down than I think tree services and police could handle. So I know that people are certainly eager to get things returned to normal a few weeks ago, but there may be a point, I suppose, where do-it-yourselfers really should step back and say, this is more tree than I should try to take care of myself.
Yeah, and like I said, even sometimes with small trees, I encourage having professionals do the pruning just because they are able to look at the tree and they can say, oh, I can see the included bark. I'm going to remove this branch, or that tree has two dominant leaves. We want to make sure it has one, because again, that's a place where the tree might fail in the future. If you prune the tree incorrectly, either you prune it what we call a flush cut and you prune the branch right next to the trunk, or you leave a stub. Again, you're encouraging the formation of decay and a future problem for your tree.
Mm. What should we think about too in terms of moving down tree wood? I know of all the quarantines for different trees, the emerald ash borer and other types of infestation in trees in the past years. Moving these trees a very long distance away from Duluth or away from our homes is something we should be cautious of, yes?
Yeah, definitely very cautious. The number one way that invasive species like gypsy moth and emerald ash borer spread is by people moving wood to different locations. Minnesota does have a couple different types of quarantines in place. Lake and Cook County are under a gypsy moth quarantine, so any wood moved out of those two counties have to be inspected for gypsy moth. Mm. And in your area, just a small portion in Duluth is quarantined for emerald ash borer, and no hardwood can move out of that location without you'd have to get a compliance agreement from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. So I usually encourage people, you know, keep the firewood or keep that wood on your site and either, you know, use it as firewood or chip in and use it as mulch.
And I suppose firewood is something that's certainly common around here, but there is a certain, as you say, a transportation of wood limit. If somebody has several down trees in the yard, that may be more wood than they ever will need in the near future. Is it really just don't, is the statement not to move it at all or don't move it within 2 miles? Is there any kind of rule of thumb that people should observe?
Well, with the DNR, we have a firewood program, and we allow wood to move into our state parks or our state forests that was harvested within 50 miles of that site. So usually, you know, with the kind of 50 miles is the, you don't want to move it beyond that.
Now, one of the other things we learned a couple of weeks ago was that it was the saturation of the soil in addition to the high winds that helped bring so many trees down in such a short period of time. Are there certain types of trees, I'm thinking in terms of personal safety after storms, that maybe should be given wide berth because of their shallower root systems versus other trees?
Well, you know, some trees are prone to tipping over because they do have shallow root systems, and when the soil gets saturated, it moves. And so one is a lot of trees that fail either had root damage because of construction, or so those are the trees that are going to fail first. And, you know, the other is if you do notice that there's your tree is leaning unnaturally, or there is a mound of new kind of mound of soil where when the tree leaned, it the roots moved up the soil, or even if you see broken roots, those are trees that you would probably want to consider removing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a tree that's under 15 feet, a smaller tree, you can try to pull it back into place, compact the soil, and stake it for no more than a year and see if it will recover.
Great. So recovery is possible if you have it. It's not like a bulging lawn around a tree is certainly a sign that there's no reversal possible. It can come back?
I would say only if it's a small tree, 15 feet or under. A mature tree, that would definitely be one that you would want to consider removing.
Mm-hmm.
And because what's happened is it's not used to that angle. It's unnatural. So some trees do grow naturally at an angle, and they've developed wood to counter the angle, but a tree that has been straight and then tilts doesn't have that ability to counter the tilt.
It's great to know that people, I think, so often think of the DNR really just being involved with state forests and state parks, but not necessarily being involved in the trees in our private residential areas. It's good to know that this resource is there. Is there a place where people can contact you or a website that they can go to find out more information about trees if they have those questions?
Yeah, you would go to the DNR's website, which is mndnr.gov, and I recommend searching. You're able to search our website and search for the key term storm damage, and it will bring you to our website, and it will give you information to decide if your tree can be saved, and then if it can be saved, it will give you some first aid recommendations.
Great. Jennifer, thanks so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it. This is valuable information for us. And as I say, we've got storms coming today, and as always, winter is coming. So tree damage is something that I think is just sort of part of our lives. And it's unfortunate, but it's good to know that there are things we can prepare for.
Yeah, thanks for your time. And I just want to encourage people to plant trees because they have many benefits. And it is, and if you can train your tree when it's young to make it strong and sound, it will be able to withstand storm damage in the future.
Wonderful. Jennifer, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Jennifer Teagarden, a DNR forestry outreach specialist, talking with us today about tree damage and how to prepare for tree damage in the future, how to take care of our trees in hopes that they remain healthy through the future storms in our lives. 8:32 is the time. That's it for Green Visions, a program to encourage green thinking and green actions.